And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning. You're very welcome along to Thursday's 9 till noon show. It's Thursday the 24th of July. It's approaching 5 minutes past nine. And we're here with you for the next 3 hours on this programme, throughout the day, of course, on station. And we've got loads coming up on the programme. Of course, we're going to keep a strong focus on the big game on Sunday. We're all getting incredibly excited. Just 3 days to go until Donegal take on the Kingdom. Tomorrow's going to be a particularly special day in that regard, though, because we're going Donegal Day. We want you all to play, so everyone's going to be wearing their jerseys into work, their green and gold into work or whatever. We're going to have our flags out. We've already got them out, our bunting out. And as I say, just to get behind it, we're going to be set for Sunday tomorrow. And tickets being given out by clubs throughout the course of the week. I hope you got your tickets. Maybe you got notification last night, or you're going to get a notification later today. It's all very exciting. There's some very happy people out there and others not so. But anyway, there's still hope. And when there's hope, that's what we've got. All right. 086 60 25,000, the WhatsApp and text number for you. And you can give us a call too on 07491 25,000. And Caroline is back from her holidays. So it's great to have Caroline back, backed up by Shannon, of course, always on the programme. If you want to watch the show, and it's a very visual show, lots to see. If you're at home, working from home on your hollybobs, don't forget we're on the YouTube app, which means you can just watch us on your smart TV or your Fire Stick. Both carry the YouTube app, or your Google device as well, your Google streaming device. That's all sorted as well. You can watch us across Facebook and on the X platform. And what we're looking for you from you today is your voice messages. We want to hear your voice messages, sending your support to maybe it's the player in your local club, or the team as a whole, or your favourite player, or the manager, or whatever it might be. So send us your WhatsApp voice notes offering your support to Donegal. Be enthusiastic. We'll play them out. And hey, many of the lads, I'm sure, will hear at one point or another. So if you've, maybe it's you, yourself, your kids, you and your kids, your family, whatever it might be, send us a voice message with your support for Donegal. Keep it nice and snappy, 10 or 15 seconds, something along those lines, and just along the lines of, well, good luck to the team, from everyone listening, or from the McDades or whatever up Donegal. Do you know that kind of a thing? So get your voice notes into us now, 086 60 25,000 on WhatsApp, with your messages of support for Jim and the lads. And as I say, it could be your local player, the team as a whole, your favourite player, the management, whatever it might be. So send in your voice notes, 086 60 25,000. We'll play them out in the radio. And don't forget to name check yourself, say where you're from, and get the kids involved as well. It'll be a bit of crack. And as I say, they may well reach the ears of the Donegal players and give them that extra little push. Right, the Tyrconnell Tribune out this morning. They're covering the three madmen, Leslie, Lee and Dennis. They, of course, went down to Kerry, invaded Kerry, planted flags. Someone said to me, would they be done flittering? I'm like, come on, lads, it's for charity and it's the All-Ireland final, would you settle? But anyway, it's nice to see John and the crew giving them some coverage there in the front page. But the main story is a story that you heard on the news as well, and it is the news that the paper understands that recent decisions by Ompost have increased the urgency to quit by the McIlwain family, whose ancestors first set up the service in Balliar 152 years ago. This is the news, sorry, that Balliar Post Office will close for business by the end of October. The office has been in many generations of the McIlwain family since 1873, and it's the last of 8 post offices in the Fannad Peninsula, as rural decline and a lack of government input makes these offices an endangered species. And you know, society is changing, life is changing. Sometimes it's for the better, sometimes it's for the worse. But you know, we're now in at a time whereby an operation which started in 1873, and it's 2025 now, and this is the year that becomes unsustainable because of how Ompost Act, what the government are doing, but also too because people are moving out of areas or doing business in a different way. And it stood there in one form or other since 1873. And right now in 2025, we're here reporting that it is to close forever. And these things will never come back. You know, I mean, the services, the contract will go out. They might end up in a shop. I'm not saying the actual services of a post office cease in the area. I'm just saying just a standalone post office It's been there for hundreds of years, and it's now that society has changed or policies have changed whereby it's gone to never really return. The Derry People, Donegal News, it's all Donegal, Donegal. If you want to sit down and read and flick through papers, pick up the paper. As I say, it's wall-to-wall coverage of the final. The final focus is how they're framing it. The front page is the extended McGettigan family, our great friend and colleague, Seamus, front and centre. But the whole extended family surround him, and they're all decked out in the county colours. And it's a great picture, and it sort of sets the tone for what is in the paper. Lots of features and fun, but also obviously a deep dive into how the game may go tactically and all that kind of stuff. The Derry News this morning, a site inspection of a controversial bonfire in Derry has been carried out. NIE Networks confirmed that it carried out a site visit at Meenan Square after meeting with local stakeholders. The utility company said the bonfire is located within 40 metres of a small low-voltage electricity substation in a brick-built enclosure. Those drones that light up are cool. You know, I think they're even better than fireworks. Do you ever see those drone shows? Maybe that's the way we need to go rather than gathering up pallets and burning them left, right and centre. On to the Nationals now, and all papers covering this tragic story that is coming from Fermanagh. The PSNI is probing a triple murder and attempted suicide as a line of inquiry after three people were killed in a shooting in County Fermanagh yesterday morning. Police said four people from the same household sustained gunshot wounds at a house on Drumere Road in Maguire's Bridge. Two people were pronounced dead at the scene, and the third person was taken by the air ambulance to Southwest Acute Hospital in nearby Enniskillen, where they later died. The fatalities include two children, one boy and one girl, and a woman in her 40s. The deceased woman is believed to be originally from the southwest of Ireland. A man remains in a serious condition in Royal Victoria Hospital in Belfast. And if he pulls through, that whole story potentially takes a different turn and becomes a court case and all of that. So have to be careful what to say, what one might say. But it's how could anyone be involved in such a thing? You know, any death is tragic, but two kids, you can't even imagine what it must have been like. You can't allow yourself to do so. It's great, really, what's going on. If you want to see how politics works, follow the VAT story, follow the hospitality VAT cut story, because the government came out first and foremost and says, and it was they that actually committed to a reduction in the VAT rate. So they came out last week and said, yeah, of course we're going to follow through in that commitment. We said we would. It's in the programme for government. We're going to lower the VAT rate to 9%, but we only have 1.5 billion to play with, so that's going to cost a billion, but we'll do it because we committed to do it. That'll cost a billion, which means there's only going to be half a billion then to sort of give maybe some help out to the general population. But we committed to it and we're going to do it. Well, maybe not, because they said that. And then next thing you know, there's a public backlash to their own plan. And the public is saying, hold on a second, what's going on here? Where's our tax cuts? Why are these businesses that we've been talking about gouging and all that kind of stuff in the past, why are they getting a bailout? All right, okay, well, with that in mind and given your reaction, maybe we might need to defer it then to next year so that we can have a sort of better budget for the general population this year. Okay, says the public, that sounds like a good idea. The hospitality sector can't say much because it's not the government they have to take issue with now. It's the public backlash to the government committing to fulfil their promises. And this is it. This is the circus. This is the kite flying. And we talked about it being a bit of a kite flying exercise. And now here we are. I don't think that's certainly not an anti-government approach. They have to, you know, follow the wind to some extent. But it just goes to show how things can kind of work. And we flagged it for you on this show. Well, anyway, I'll read on the Irish Times. The government is likely to delay the VAT cut for the hospitality industry until the middle of next year, creating more room for tax cuts in budget 2026. It's also possible that the lower VAT rate of 9% will be extended only to hospitality. That means food and drink in bars, restaurants and hotels, and not to accommodation, which I think was another thing that we flagged on this show, that people might not be happy that their tax dollar would be going to businesses that have been accused of very recently, in fact, of sort of gouging around big events, etc. Well, the tax strategy paper due to be published today, which will inform the budget process underway within government. They're expected to say that such a separation would be complicated but not impossible. Senior politician sources involved in discussions on the same stressed it would be possible if complex. So I'm not saying it's by design, but we could find ourselves in a situation whereby the government lets down that made a commitment to support the hospitality sector as a whole, but lets it down because that's the will of the people. And maybe those in the hospitality sector might feel, and who maybe said, right, vote for this government because they're going to do this, might feel a little bit hard done by. Right, you know it yourself, don't you? When you go and do your weekly shop, you know the prices has, you know the prices have increased, and it's not in just one area, it's the trickle. It's the 20 items, and it's a €1, €2 on each item that is, that's gone up. Well, the Irish Daily Mail has the figures here, and just to give you some example. 2 litres of milk last year was 2.20. It's up to 2.47 now. So that's up 12%. That's a big jump. Your pack of Irish cheddar was 10.39 last year. It's now up 11. It's up to €11.34. That's up 9%. Sliced brown bread has gone up 5 cents. Butter per pound has gone up €1.10. That's up 29%. A pint of stout is up 27 cents, up 4.7%. Broccoli, for example, up 17% now to 3.53. Your 80 tea bags, they've gone from 3.16 to 3.33, up 17%. Sorry, up 5.4%. That's 17 cents. Fresh cod, well, that's increased by 11%, up €2.22 in a year. And your sirloin steak, that's jumped from 17.26 to 22.12. Now, these aren't individual steaks. I know you might say, well, I can go in and get 2 for £9. They're using just an average weight and all that. So that goes to show that you're not losing your mind, that the cost of shopping has gone up. Food prices continue to rise. The figures are revealed in a Central Statistics Office study of 36 countries comparing food prices across the continent. The nations included the 27 EU member states and 9 others. And Irish food prices are the second most expensive in the Eurozone. We're only behind Luxembourg. Why? Why are the prices going up? Romania was the least expensive of the EU countries, while Slovakia was the least expensive of the 20 European countries. So the prices have gone absolutely nuts. And as I say, you know, you stick 25 on per week or other week, multiply that over the course of the year, and you can see why we're struggling. The Irish Farmers Journal, Minister for Agriculture Martin Hayden has stated that he has a glass half full outlook on European Commission proposals to cut ring-fenced farmers' funds by 20%. The minister is confident, facing into negotiations, that he hopes will push CAP's dedicated funding upwards. Very significant changes will be made to the ring-fenced €300 billion initially proposed for CAP funding over the next 2 years, and similar raids of the EU farm payment pot did not materialise in previous CAP reforms, Minister Hayden told the Irish Farmers Journal. Riding a bike's dangerous statistically, we know that, and 105 motorcyclists have been killed on our roads in 5 years, and it's been described in the Irish Daily Star as a sobering new report. The motorcyclist spotlight report, fatalities and serious injuries, and I think that latter part's really important, 2020 to 2024, reveals that 105 motorcyclists lost their lives and 884 were seriously injured during the 5 year period, accounting for 14% of all road fatalities and 12% of serious injuries based on our, and that's overrepresented. I can't believe that motorcyclists would account for 12% or 14% of vehicles on the road. Well, based on Irish collision data, the report shows that young to middle-aged men remain the most vulnerable, with 65% of motorcyclist fatalities aged 16 to 46 and 100% of fatalities being male. The majority of serious injuries were male, 93%, and 82% were aged 16 to 55. It's worrying, isn't it? Back to food now, and one person has died after contracting a rare bacterial infection, sparking a major food recall. This is the Irish Sun. The adult was among 9 confirmed cases of Listeriosis, I don't have a clue. I was able to pronounce it off air and now I can't. Well, it's an infection usually suffered after eating contaminated food in Ireland as of Tuesday, July 22. The HSE's Health Protection Surveillance Centre last night announced it was probing the death. Listeriosis is caused by the bacterium Listeria and is a notifiable disease in Ireland, meaning medical practitioners are required to tell public health bosses if a new case comes to their attention. And finally, a jury was struggling to come up with a decision as it relates to a former All-Ireland star. He was charged with assaulting a boy with a stick. They struggled to come up to a decision, but in the end, they cleared him. At Ennis Circuit Court, the jury of 7 men and 5 women returned a majority not guilty verdict in the charges against 48-year-old Niall Gilligan. The All-Ireland winner had denied he assaulted, causing harm of the then 12-year-old boy with a stick at the Jamaica Inn Hostel, 6 Mile Bridge, County Clare, on October 5th, 23. Mr. Gilligan sat impassively in the court as the registrar read out the verdict. Two women in the Gilligan family group seated at the back of the court to support the defendant wept as the not guilty verdicts were called. So I think I might have read something about that case previously, so just feel it only fair to read out the conclusion of it. Okay. That was a run through the papers. Our first guests will be joining us shortly. Just a reminder for you, if you want to send in your voice note supporting maybe your local player, the team as a whole, Jim McGuinness, all of them for that matter, send them in to us now. Say who you are, where you're from, get the kids involved, get your work colleagues involved, whatever it might be. Send in your WhatsApp voice notes to 08660 25000. We'd love to hear your support for the Donegal team today. And listen, if the odd Kerry one sneaks in, we're not going to be too offended either. All right, let's take that break. We're joined on the programme now by Conor Coyle, who's a news reporter with the Irish News. Conor, thanks for your time this morning. It is appreciated.
No problem at all. Thanks for having me on.
Now, we're speaking in the context of this awful tragedy that began to emerge in County Fermanagh yesterday, and the more details that have emerged and do emerge make it even more hard to palate. It's intolerable. It's so tragic. How did we become aware of this news, and how did that news unfold over the course of yesterday, Conor?
Well, I suppose the first inkling that we got of a major incident taking place was a road closure, I suppose, from the police. Quickly, obviously, found out that something serious was happening. Police first received a report at 7:50 yesterday morning. When emergency services arrived at the scene, there was two people pronounced dead. Later on, then yesterday afternoon, a third had passed away. We now know that those victims to be a mother and her two children, who are in their teens. Just absolutely horrific and tragic circumstances here.
And of the four that were shot, the fourth, the surviving person at this point, is understood to be the main suspect in the other three shootings.
Yeah, so police confirmed yesterday four people had received gunshot wounds in the house, three of whom obviously have now sadly passed away. The fourth person remains in the Royal Victoria Hospital in a serious condition. All four were members of the same household. He's in a serious condition at the minute. Police have said they have not made any arrests at this stage, and interestingly they say that they do not anticipate any further arrests will be made. So, yeah, they're very much looking at this through the lens of a triple murder and attempted suicide. That was their appeared to be their main line of inquiry when they spoke to the media yesterday.
Two local GAA clubs are amongst those in the community paying tribute to the mum and her two children. They were obviously very intertwined and much loved in the local area.
Absolutely. It's my understanding that the mother was originally from County Clare and had moved to the area some time ago. was very involved in the local hurling club in particular, and both kids had been members of that and active playing members. Both St Patrick's Hurling Club in Lisbalaw and St Mary's Maguire's Bridge Football Club have confirmed that they were beloved members of the clubs and will be desperately missed. And I think that was the overarching thing, really, that we got a sense of from the scene and all across Fermanagh yesterday. People are struggling to come to terms with how something so cruel and horrific could have taken place there in such a quiet, rural location.
It's unbelievable, and the ripples, the ripple effect, the impact of it is felt so widely. I think we've all been touched by the level of tragedy. One can only imagine what the family of the three victims must be going through since they found out the news today, and for a long time to come.
Yeah, that's it. And as I said, we understand the mother's family are based in County Clare, so that will be no doubt an added difficulty for them. Not being close, I'm sure they will be making arrangements to come up here. But it's just particularly tragic given those circumstances. And that was just the overriding feeling. We expect to get more updates from the PSNI today as regards the investigation specifically.
All right, okay. And I think people will be keen to sort of get maybe a medical update on the person in hospital too.
Yeah, I mean, it's my understanding that he is in a particularly serious condition. Who knows at this stage whether he will be well enough at any stage to face a potential arrest. It's too early to say that at this stage. So I don't want to preempt any investigation from the PSNI either at this stage. But they've said quite clearly that they don't anticipate any further arrests, which obviously is quite an interesting line.
Yeah, indeed, and it's telling. Thank you so much, Connor. That's Connor Coyle, news reporter with the Irish News, and the victims of that shooting have been named locally as veterinary surgeon Vanessa White, who died alongside her teenaged children, Sarah and James. And our thoughts and prayers are with them and their families and the wider community, the local community and the wider community as well. It is an incredibly, incredibly tragic situation. A caller says it's great to be celebrating this achievement, but I really think there should be a protest 2 hours before the game about a salary for this team. The manager's getting paid. Why not the actual people who play the game? It's an interesting point. It's up for discussion at the moment this year, so there's a process ongoing to see the direction of the game. And I think everyone, even those directly involved in the game and playing the game, would have their views, and they wouldn't be necessarily unanimous in relation to that. This is an institution that's been run a certain way for a long time in a certain fashion. It's the envy of the world that people put so much on the line for the love of their club, the love of their county, the love of the jersey. And there's people far better informed than I debating this year, and they are going to see what the plan is going forward. But as I say, I haven't heard massive rumblings from players saying that this is necessarily the way it should be. I don't know what their views are, but we'll see. We'll see. Hotels in Dublin are very greedy. They need to be called out on hotel prices. For a night over €300, it's a disgrace. What day of the week? Oh, I'm not saying they don't, but yeah, I hear you. Can somebody please come on and explain why children in clubs have not received All-Ireland tickets? These children are also club members. If this was any other organisation, there would be uproar. But I was reading a piece from Chris McNulty, it was yesterday, and he was breaking down the actual ticket allocations that are available. I don't have it off the top of my head, it's 12,000 for sponsors, the capacity say 82, 12,000 for sponsors, another 10 for such and such. And really what it breaks down to is right, 40 or 50,000 tickets are available just for, Kerry and Donegal in this instance. And that's not really going to meet demand, is it? Every club in the country, for right or wrong, are entitled to, you know, four or five or six tickets as well. So that's another, I think it was 20,000 he equated that to. So there's big demands. And really, when you break it down and you strip it all out, there's actually a relatively small number of tickets to satisfy massive need and want in both counties. You know, both counties arguing over 40,000 tickets effectively. And some suggestion too that maybe some clubs didn't necessarily correctly apply for the tickets and potentially lost out on an allocation for some of their members. Right, hi there. My name is Margaret O'Donoghue, originally from Fannet, married to a Kerry man from Listowel, living in Clonmel, County Tip. Tried ringing in this morning, but no success. Donegal are going to show Kerry how it's done on Sunday. Dunna la boo. We're celebrating in Tipperary because of our big win last Sunday. We've a selection of flags flying in our garden. Kerry, Donegal and Tipperary flags all flying high. Well done, Margaret. That's a good mix in that household, no doubt about that. Kerry, Donegal and Tipperary flags, and two out of three of them, and we hope it's the Tip and Donegal flags, will be spot on come Monday morning. That being said, it's a remarkable achievement what the lads have done, and I'm certainly not preparing for failure because that would be not very advisable, but it is already an amazing season they've given us, and we just hope they can finish it off. Hi, Greg. How many tickets did the Donegal clubs get, and does that compare with the allocation to other counties? We got, was it, I think it's 14,000 or 15,000 when you include the season ticket holders, something along those lines. So that's the breakdown. It's not enough, obviously. But as I mentioned, there are greater demands on tickets for different areas, corporate, ETC, former players, refs, etc. So when you break it all down, there's only about 40,000 tickets available for Donegal and for Kerry. Greg, I wanted to highlight something that happened to me recently. I had my four young children and I was packing away my shopping. I was parked in a mother and children spot. A woman stopped traffic and started to shout that I was in a disabled spot and that she needed it for her husband. I was trying to get my children in the car and get the groceries in, and she kept shouting that I was being deliberately slow. Thankfully, other women intervened and told her that it was a parent parking spot. I was so upset all evening. My daughter started crying too because we were being shouted at. It's just a horrible experience, and I'm asking people to please be a bit kinder. Indeed, that would be worrying. It would worry me, to be honest with you. I would try and brush it off, but it wouldn't. It would bother me. And everybody has to show a little bit of compassion, but we don't know what that person was going through that day either. Right, now, the BBC has edited the Irish language out of a portion of CMAT's new single. The Dunboyne native released Euro Country on Tuesday evening with the first ever play of the song at 6 p.m. on BBC Radio 1. However, the opening of the song, which features just over 40 seconds of Irish, was not included in the play. Taken to Instagram, CMAT, real name Kira Mary Alice Thompson, confirmed that she was not aware of the move prior to the first play. I just want to say really quickly that it was not my decision to have the Irish language edited out of the first ever play of Euro Country on radio. Laura Heaney is an Irish language activist. She's a presenter on TG Cahir and an actress in Ross na Run as well. So pretty quiet, generally speaking. No, she's flat out. Laura, good morning to you. How are you keeping?
Hello, Greg. How are you? Imagine why.
I suppose, you know, this was a great opportunity maybe to sort of get our language on a big platform and celebrate it. We're not trying to convert anyone, don't get me wrong. And the BBC decided to chop it out. What's your reaction to it?
Yeah, so the BBC has actually denied editing the Irish out of the single, and that I wouldn't be one now that's a full-time stand-up for the BBC, but that would corroborate the stories of other radio broadcasters, because they all seem to have received the version of the CMAT song that has the first 45 seconds of the Gaelic cut out. And then that does lead us down a different avenue of, you know, respect for the language and respect for the Irish and culture, but it does seem to be that the record label cut it out. So it's a 5-minute song, and the first 45 seconds of which are in the Irish language. And when the song made its radio debut on the BBC, the aforementioned 45 seconds were cut out.
So we'll give the BBC a pass on this. They received an edited copy. I mean, I wonder were the record company sort of trying to make it shorter, or did they cut the Irish out to make it more radio friendly? The one thing is happening here is, firstly, we are actually talking about the Irish language again and CMAT's new single, so not all is lost here, but it would make you wonder what's going on.
Absolutely. And regardless of what happened throughout the decision making process that culminated in the removal of the Irish in the song, it's hard to deny that it ultimately was just an ignorant thing to have happened. Because, like, given the history of obviously Britain and Ireland, we are sensitive and protective over the language and culture as it is. So one would assume as well that the significance of that is understood also in England. So there is no argument in that the language is undoubtedly in their peripherals, let alone considering the recent media attention that NECAP has received and been given by the British media. But it is understandable why people would assume that the whole thing does have a bit of a politically motivated backdrop to it, but yeah.
I just had it in my head that there was someone sitting in the room going, oh, what's she saying? I hope she's not saying something that NECAP might say. Right, listen, let's just cut it out to be on the safe side.
Maybe. But whether the BBC edited the Gaelic out or the record label, like, fans and enthusiasts did not generally stop to ponder who the culprit was. And it doesn't seem that CMAT did either. She took to her Instagram stories and she said that she knew not whether it was a mistake or what had happened. But yeah, regardless, it has received quite some backlash on social media and mainstream media.
As an activist, and without sort of necessarily us commentating, but we might have to, on the context of what's being said or what is this recent sort of conversation about, you know, maybe being proud to be Irish, the inclusion of Irish in songs, you know, some of it's not great publicity, but it's all publicity, right? Is that, do you see that as sort of positive, Laura, and get the conversation out there, the chat going?
Absolutely. Like, I was reading through some of the comments on social media in regards to the headline was BBC cuts out Irish from CMAT song. So I was reading through the comments and there is widespread discontent and many people, you know, they're commenting and there's many references to microaggression. There's references to colonial oppression and language suppression, and people are perceiving it to be discriminatory. So the passion and the engagement that is receiving is, you know, it does come from a place of passion and engagement with the language. So that is definitely, you can hold up a positive light to it in that sense.
Yeah, and people might go, well, what does it matter? Why should we care? And that's those that sort of maybe, and maybe it's down to colonial times, that don't sort of want to say, no, actually, treat us fairly, because you wouldn't do it to a Latin song, you know, Rosie, one of Rosie's songs. You wouldn't go, oh, well, that's a bit, is that Japanese, Chinese? I don't know, let's cut it out. You know what I mean? It wouldn't happen. It wouldn't happen to a French artist either. So, you know, we need to have this conversation and say, well, why did it happen to an Irish artist? Because as I say, other songs wouldn't be chopped up in the same way. I'm pretty confident in relation to that.
Absolutely. Like, let alone is it an insult to the language, it's also not a display of the utmost respect to CMAT herself, you know, by chopping out a chunk of her song that presumably she worked very hard on. And she wasn't informed either. It's clear by her response to the situation that she didn't know that it was being cut out.
Yeah. Okay. Well, as I say, it's got the conversation going. It's got you back on the 9 till noon show, so it's all good. Is the song any good? I haven't heard it.
It's a brilliant song. Yeah, absolutely. Right. It's a fantastic song. And it already took off upon release. So it was released on Tuesday. And the song reflects the financial crisis following the downfall of the Celtic Tiger and then the hardships that followed. So it very quickly gained traction on the internet and people really seemed to connect with that message and the political message within the song. So it certainly resonated with a lot of demographics.
Yeah, and I saw her name on the Glastonbury lineup as well, and I think she's got a big gig coming up in Dublin too later this year. So it's all going in the right direction for her, and I'm sure she'll use this to her advantage as well and to promote the language, as you do, Laura, at every opportunity. Thanks for that. Lovely to chat to you.
Slán,
thank you very much. Okay, Mayhew, that's Laura Heaney there, who is Irish language activist. She's a presenter on TG Cahir and also an actress on Ross na Rin. Right, so I want to let you know that on Sunday morning, I kind of mentioned this a little earlier on, but I haven't really gone through this and sort of described it properly, believe it or not, but everything's been so blooming busy. So as part of our build-up to the big game, the final fling really on the radio before we hand over the commentary teams and all that is our big match brunch. It's live from the Bonington Hotel in Drumcondra. It's on Sunday morning. It's part of our Road to Croker. Now, we'll be building up to the throw-in with live music from Rory Gallagher, Jimmy winning matches fame, of course, so anyone there is going to be expected to join in for the chorus at least. Darren Boot, he's cracked out a brilliant song as well. He's going to be performing with us. And David James is going to be there as well. And we'll be chatting to you, the fans, and there's going to be giveaways, and it's going to be great fun. And as I say, then what we'll do is we'll have our breakfast and then we'll all head down towards Croke Park. So come along and fuel up ahead of the game. Pre-book your all-you-can-eat breakfast now for €20. And the advantage of pre-booking at highlandradio.com, if you do so, you'll be in with a chance of winning an overnight stay at Bonington in Dublin. Now, you can come along to the show and not have breakfast. You can come along to the show and pay your €20 there for the breakfast. It's not for me or the show. It's for their breakfast, right? But you won't have that chance to win the overnight stay in the Bonington if you book in advance for €20 at highlandradio.com. You're in that competition. So that's our big match brunch show, the morning of the big game, live from Dublin, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. in the Bonington. Highland Motors Road to Croker, Highland Radio's Road to Croker, I beg your pardon, Highland Motors Road to Croker, Highland Radio's Road to Croker, sorry, is in association with Highland Motors Letterkenny. Sorry, I'm mixing that up. So we're doing it all in association with our friends across the road here, Highland Motors Letterkenny. Next item is to warn you, but not to worry you, because we have the most amazing beaches. But there is a little trend, a medical trend being spotted, and we want to let you or make you aware of that. And we're joined by Dr. Repo Singh, who's of the Letterkenny Medics Private Clinic. Good morning, Doctor. Thank you so much for your time.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, and it is great to have you on the show. Right, so what are you seeing in your clinic off the back of beach visits?
Well, yes, it's not about back of beach, actually, Greg. We had seen few cases recent days that infection due to the people that they visit to the beaches, they get the cuts there and they just ignore it and get proper infections on that wounds.
So are these bites? Are they blisters? Are they cuts?
No. What happened is somebody had a small cut and just ignored it, and they enter in the water. And unfortunately, that water was contaminated. And that's how they get the bacteria into that.
Okay, so if any break in the skin, and then if you enter the water, potentially there is a risk of infection, and to keep an eye on it.
Yes, so far I don't want to scare anyone because we have a beautiful beaches, like you said. And most of the beaches in Ireland are beautiful, and like regarding the EPA rules and everything, the water there is monitored and the quality is high, good quality of water there. But sometimes happen, you know, after the heavy rain of 48 hours and something, some bacteria and all those things because of the overflow of the farm and the sewages from the towns contains the bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
And when that bacteria, somebody got the cut, supposedly got the cut on the beach and in the water, and the water is contaminated because of that, can get easily the cellulitis. Cellulitis and can be treated easily, no doubt. But sometimes what happened, this bacteria, this marine bacteria. Okay. So if there is any bowl or any skin break and we enter in the into the water, that bacteria can easily enter into our system through that skin break. And that's what we had seen few cases in recent days.
So what should we look out for? So, I mean, obviously, are you saying that if you stand on a shell or something or scrape your arm, you should avoid the water or just enjoy the water but keep your eye out on some symptoms? What's your advice?
Yes, enjoy the water and especially follow the 48-hour rule that after the heavy rain of 48 hours, not to enter into the beach. And if there is any small cut, graze or sores or any skin break, just apply the waterproof bandage. Once we are out of the beach, we need to rinse and clean thoroughly, clean our skin, even if there is no visible issues. Just have to clean. And especially if there is any spot noted, any cut or anything, have to be cleaned properly with antiseptic.
Mm.
And if there is a rashes or swelling or anything start developing in 1 or 2 days later, then definitely see a doctor.
That would be unusual, wouldn't it? If you had a break in your skin, a scrape on your arm, your foot, your knee, wherever it is, and it starts to react like it shouldn't. There's something going on there. And you're saying particularly you've been in seawater, to go and get that checked, because obviously the sooner it's treated, the less likely it is to spread. Is the worst case scenario sepsis or something along those lines?
Yes, worst case scenario sepsis, but so far because the water quality in the island beaches are good, so most of the things are minor and easily treated.
All right, but don't wait, you're saying, get it checked early.
Yes, in 1 or 2 days, if you see that the skin, like, small cut. Anyone can have a small cut or a small boil or a small skin break. And most of them healed normal without any medical intervention. But if you notice in 1 or 2 days it's getting red, swelling, painful, then it's definitely something happening.
Filling with pus or blistering, I'd imagine.
Well,
you can go to your local GP or walk into Letterkenny-Mennix as well for an assessment, and your advice is to do so. Thank you very much, Doctor.
Thank you, Greg. Have a good day.
Take care. Bye-bye, you too. That's Dr. Ripu Singh. And as I say, don't avoid the water. That's not the message. It's just keep a wee eye out, because they've seen a couple of cases and thought it worth mentioning that after heavy rain or very clean, highly rated water, sometimes there can be some wash-off. And what they've seen is some people with breaks in their skin that have become a little bit infected. But enjoy the water, enjoy the sea, just keep an eye out on it. I don't want to do anything that might discourage people from safely enjoying our wonderful amenities, but it's important to get that info out there as well. We were recently about to pull into a parent and toddler parking space when a van with the company logo all over it pulled into it. As we watched to see if they had a child with them, it was just two workmen going into a cafe for their breakfast. Very poor reflection on the business. More needs to be done to monitor these spaces, indeed, yeah. And you know what I've seen quite a bit of recently, and it really does worry me. I'm sorry to go back towards the sea. It's in the same space. Is our piers and launchways, you know, where obviously the general public use them, but are an emergency services, the RNLI, etc., need to launch boats in a panic. And I've seen vehicles parking in yellow boxes around slipways or on piers, etc. And please just don't do it, because they've been designed to allow boats to very quickly get in, turn, back down and launch. And or don't block any slipways, don't park in front of them, even if there isn't a yellow box, because it's very possible that that is a launch spot for the RNLI. And, you know, more and more people are out enjoying the water, using the water, but they need to be able to be accessed very, very quickly if there is an emergency. And, you know, they are within their rights, the emergency services, to do whatever is required to get that boat launched. Be it two cars parked, abreast where they shouldn't or whatever it might be. The priority there is to get the people rescued, so you could end up with a damaged vehicle as well, potentially. Not that they would do it intentionally or what have you, but just be careful. There's loads of parking, or indeed you can walk a little bit, but respect the spaces. It's all what we're talking about here. A caller says, I've been trying for weeks to get tickets to Billie Eilish for my 14-year-old, who's obsessed with her. She's brilliant, Billie Eilish. Is there any chance you could ask listeners if anyone has tickets that I could buy off them, or is anyone in studio, anyone I could contact? Thanks. That comes in from Amanda. In terms of sort of sports tickets and music tickets, there was a time where we kind of had contacts in the industry. Do you know what I mean? We had really strong contacts that maybe you could pull something off. It's just not like that anymore. The whole system has changed, and those sort of connections and links just aren't there anymore. But maybe someone can't go to the Billie Eilish concert and they have a couple of tickets spare to sell. This 14-year-old's living and dying to go, a chance to see her idol up close and personal. And Billie Eilish is very good, I think. Ed Sheeran has a new song out with a foreign language in it, but it hasn't been edited out. Maybe radio stations are a bit prejudiced towards the Irish language. Yeah, well, it makes you wonder, because it was ultimately the record company that cut it out. We don't know why they did. Still looking. Greg, how many Donegal games did you go to this year? Caroline, are you trying to... I'm here trying to promote the game, to promote the atmosphere, and you're trying to take me down by handing me texts like that. I'm not, who says I'm on the bandwagon? I do GA every Monday morning with Brendan Devaney. I go to local club games. You know, I've got a toddler. It can be hard to get to the senior games. You know, I'm going down to work in Dublin. What am I supposed to not go down to the Bonnington and do the show because I've not attended as many games as other people? I'm not getting defended, but come on. She's only back one day and she's trying to throw me under the bus. Right, send your voice messages in. Not one of you have yet, or very few of you have anyway. Do you not want to support the team? We want to get the voice messages to the lads. WhatsApp 086 60 25,000, and send your love and support to your local player, the team, the manager, whatever it might be. Voice notes 086 60 25,000. There's 80 odd thousand of you listening, another 1,000 watching. Come on, let's get your act together.